KVOE, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents the Monday Morning Quarterback. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Souter, Aaron Harder, and Marcus Urkel.
Beautiful Monday morning. Welcome to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Welcome, Marcus Urkel.
We're back, baby.
We are.
It's been a long time.
4 weeks.
In fact, I don't know.
It's just a 4 week hiatus for me.
4 week for you, and I don't think I was here when you were here last, so it's been like seven for the two of us being in together.
But we are back.
Nice.
Tis the season. I'm going to text Steve real quick and see if he's joining us or not.
You didn't miss us.
I did not.
I've talked to your family. I've kind of seen some pictures. I haven't gone through all of them yet. You did not miss us here in Emporia, Kansas.
We did not. On the second Monday, we had just arrived in Venice, Italy, and it was almost 10 o'clock here. So it we were 7 hours ahead. So it was 5 o'clock there, almost five there. And I was like, you know what? I got a little time. I could call in.
That you said.
And I said, I'm good. I'm good. They got it. Blake's got it. Marcus is there. Steve's there. We're good.
It was all good. You guys looked like you had a great trip.
It was awesome.
This is a sports show. So you got to play a nine-hole par three course, course?
Marley and I found a... we went as far as we get really good at the subway systems when we go to those big cities, and we went as far as we could on the subway, and then it was like a 7 minute Uber drive, cost like 11 euros, and we went to this par three course, and we used our Google Translate app because she did not speak any English, and I don't know if she undercharged us or not, but for me and him to both play two rounds of nine, so 18 holes, and both rent clubs, and get two logoed balls, and buy four golf balls so we could play with golf balls. It was like $57.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That was in France?
Paris.
That was in Paris.
Just outside of Paris, and it kind of was sprinkling that afternoon anyway, so Melanie and Layla just went shopping, and Marley and I got rained on and played a little golf. It was a blast.
That's fantastic. Good stuff, man. I'm glad you guys did that. That's going to be they're at the perfect age to remember that for forever, too.
They are. Yeah. And the Olympics are in Paris coming up.
Just a couple weeks.
And you could tell.
A couple months.
You could tell the town was bustling and getting ready for it. And there weren't any attractions closed, but there were portions of, like, you could only go three sides of the Eiffel Tower because one side they have some awesome-looking stadium set up.
Nice.
I have no idea what the sports are.
Right, sure.
But once they're playing there, we'll be,
we were just there. That's awesome.
It should be an absolutely gorgeous Olympics. Paris is in fantastic shape right now.
Cool. Good deal.
Yeah, it was fun. A lot happened while I was gone, though.
I can't even remember where we're at. So, yeah, let's start
with
yesterday.
It's U.S. Open week. We know it's U.S. Open week.
Let's go past golf before future.
We had the Emporia U.S. Open.
Emporia U.S. Open was this weekend. Yeah, we had the city championship, men's city championship, women's city championship, senior city championship, and the inaugural super senior city championship. We decided we're trying to get some older fellas playing.
Super senior, 70 plus?
75 plus.
75 plus.
Yeah, so we had a small field this year, but we'll have
Doug Crockett, 75 plus?
Just turned 75 on Thursday.
He doesn't look it, does he?
No. He was the one pushing for this, so I assumed he was 75. And then I asked him, when did you turn? How old are you? He goes, 75 in 2 days on the start of the tournament. I was like, no wonder you were pushing for it this year. So, but he went off into a playoff. He and John Corsack tied after 2 days. They played two holes in a playoff, and Doug ended up getting it. So congrats to both of them.
That's awesome.
Good stuff. And then we had we ended up having enough seniors that we split that flight, and Gary Nicolette took the A flight seniors. I don't think I'm going to remember second place. You have it pulled up.
Yeah, Mo Schmidt, six strokes back, plus 22. Roger Brownrigg, plus 24. eight shots back of Gary.
And then in the senior championship, we had a name that's been on the trophy before find it again, and that would be William Zhao.
Good golfer.
William is a good golfer. He did not play very well the first day, and I was a little – I thought maybe there's a chance someone was going to get him, but then he went out and shot even par yesterday, I believe, 71.
He did. He shot even par yesterday.
So he won that, so congrats to William. That is – he is 62, I believe, and I believe that's his second senior championship. I'd have to go look at the trophy to guarantee that, but congrats to William. A couple guys played pretty well behind him. We had a three-way tie.
Glenn Schmidt, Steve Neal, Jordan Mench, and Glenn Schmidt.
And Steve Neal shot his round of his life in a city championship. He shot 73 yesterday. He was pretty stoked, so congrats to Steve.
His best round out there?
Best round out there, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, maybe in any either place of the city championship. I'll have to ask him.
73 is good.
Yeah, he was stoked. He wanted me to hold on to the scorecard, which I did for him. So then in the regular age division, we ended up with three flights. In the B flight, Jim Barrett was won by about four strokes over Calvin Murphy. And then
three strokes. Calvin will want you to know it's only three.
Three strokes. Chesney Urkel came in third place. I was four very strokes. Proud of him.
Yeah, 84 yesterday. Great
shot.
Great
84,
round.
So I was really happy with him. Those A and B flights played the same tees as the championship flight on Saturday, but then played the white tees yesterday. We played a white-blue combo Saturday. Everybody did at that age, and then we split them yesterday. So the A and B flight played the white tees. So congrats to Jim Barrett. The A flight, Caden Massey comes back to town from his move to Kansas City, but we consider him an Emporian, I suppose, and took the A flight with a 79-72 or something like that.
78-72.
78-72. Second place.
Todd Preisner.
Todd. Just Mr. Steady.
Solid. 76-78.
And then Jamie Souter comes in third.
79-78. That's good rounds for Jamie.
I don't think Jamie's been playing a lot of golf, so that's pretty good. And then in the championship flight, it was a deep field. This is the best field we've had in a long time.
This is the deepest field.
Deepest field we've had in a long time. I think that almost too similar, where I think there was a little bit of pressure on everybody. They didn't play quite as well as I necessarily thought. They played well, but some of them kind of maybe buckled. I was a little surprised. But anyway, third place was Taylor Smith.
Where's he from?
Taylor, he played at Hutch JUCO. I know that. He lives here. Okay. He's been here for a while, and he's a good player. This is the best showing he's had in the city. He's a really good player.
74-72 for him.
Yeah, so congrats to Taylor. Second place was Seth Mischke, who is the new track coach at Emporia State. This is the second consecutive second place for him. He came out here last summer, and he played in the city last year because we moved it back. Took second then. And then our 2024 champion with a total 1-under total, 2-under
total. 2-under total.
2-under total. Shot 68-73.
Two. Yep.
68-72 is Brooks Souter. So congrats to Brooks. That's his second city championship in 3 years. He looked pretty solid when I was watching him.
Except for the double bogey on 17.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. No, every time I saw him, it was just like, man, that's a pretty good swing right there. And I know his swing is not, from what I hear, has been his issue in college or anything. It's his putting. But, man, his swing looks good. He just smooth, balanced. I really like it. So congrats.
Let's welcome his grandpa on here. Good morning, Steve.
He's here.
Good morning.
There he is.
I was tied up with Brooks's dad. He's getting ready to head to Pittsburgh to take Hudson down for the Kansas Junior Amateur Tournament.
Oh, that's right.
Starts tomorrow. And I about forgot to get on the show. My wife just came back in and said, hey, you going to do the show? So I got here just in time. Yeah, pretty proud, Papa, as Brooks kept it together. I thought his interview with Dylan kind of said it all. The first day was a good day to play and a good day to score and go low. Yesterday, because of the wet and everything, it was a good day to grind. So really proud of him. Good tournament. And proud of Hudson, too. And, you know, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the high school kids. Will Walker with an even par, and then yesterday, what did he shoot, 76?
Yep.
got fourth place. Hudson shot 77 yesterday, so I'd even par the first day. That first day, three kids that are going to be on the Emporia High team next year, all in two of them at even par, and I think Nolan was 74, so that would be three over.
The 73.
Yeah, he was 73.
Bodes pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it bodes pretty well. If we can keep Nolan on the golf team, we were giving him he's not playing the AM because he's going to go sub on a baseball team tomorrow, but we were giving him some grief for even talking about playing baseball. We said, guys, if you do this next year when we're hosting state at this same course, you got a really good chance of hosting a trophy as well.
Yeah, they're solid. Absolutely. And it was actually really enjoyable too, Steve. I know Will and Jared Johnson didn't end up playing in the city, but he and Will and Hudson helped me with junior camp this last week. And I can't tell you how much I enjoy listening to the smack talk. A couple other guys that played were there as well. And I thoroughly enjoyed listening to them just kind of talk about their expectations and talk about how they could do this and how they could do that. And then, of course, talking smack to the other guy, how they couldn't do this. And that. And I don't know. They probably have no idea that I even heard them talking about it or whatever. But I really enjoy it. And having those kids out there is fantastic. And they are really good. And knowing that we are hosting 5A next year, you know, there's an opportunity there for something special. So I think they know that, and they're super excited. I personally try really, really hard not to put too much pressure on them because we're hosting it and because they're going to feel that pressure. So, you know, I hope they continue to have fun, and they seem to really, really be happy on the golf course, and ultimately that's what
And they're
know,
really
I
competitive
want.
With each other.
They are.
It helps a lot, and it was – I know Cooper Reck was a really good locker room guy this last year. He's the only one we're losing. We're hoping your son will be the quote unquote six bag next year. I know how much Marley grew from his eighth grade year to his freshman year. So hopefully all four of those juniors or now seniors will be back. And then,
There's a couple other kids too that we'd be remiss. I see them out there.
Yeah. Whoever makes the team. Yeah.
It's going to be earned for sure. So, but it's a good situation right now for junior golf. And, you know, there's some 10, 11, 12 year olds right now that are really good too, that I have in my junior league. And, I would never tell a kid not to play baseball cause I loved baseball, but if they do choose golf, look out, like they're solid. So it's hopefully there's a good continued good future. We've had a good past. Hopefully we have a continued good future in the game.
Well, we'll
golf
see the baseball high. Coach tomorrow, and we can ask him if he thinks the golf team or his team has a better chance at state title next year. No, golf's in a really good spot in Emporia, and almost all of that credit goes to you, Marcus. That junior program is second to none in the entire state. There's so many kids involved with it. It's just absolutely great right now. You could see a lot of that, like Steve said, showing up in the A flight of the city championship or in the championship flight of the city championship. We even talked about Caden at, you know, Those are hard ones. When a good golfer doesn't play good on day one, do you put him where he's supposed to be, or do you put him where he shot? And I mean, Caden finishing plus six for the weekend plus eight for the weekend is pretty darn good as well. Chesney and Cooper both in that B flight, and then we didn't even get to. Let's get to the ladies now.
Yep, let's get to the ladies because we had one of the best rounds of the weekend came from. Tied for the lowest score of the weekend came from a young lady who is going to be a sophomore in college, Avery Eckert, who posted a 68 on Saturday and then just kind of comfortably cruised to a four-shot win. Is it more than that?
Over
her twin sister, Olivia. And
seven
then
shot over her little sister.
Her next sister, Elise. So Avery Eckert goes in first, Olivia second, and Elise third, followed by Joy Hagert in fourth place. So had eight women as well playing. Talk to Joy. We'd love to get that number higher. We just need to continue to the ladies' night on Mondays is growing. Seems like every week. So hopefully we can continue to get them to you know want to learn how to play. And I think you know it's intimidating and it can be tough. But hopefully we'll get them out there and get some more ladies next year and continue to grow
Marcus,
that field as well. Yeah.
What about high school girls? I mean, is there anybody besides Elise
that Not that played in the city, no.
I know that, but
I would say coach is going to have to do some recruiting for some high school girls at this point. There's some seventh graders and a bunch of sixth graders that are with me in junior league, but we're still a little bit away from having high school girls. I would love to come up with an idea to get some girls that maybe aren't going to play volleyball that would think to, that I would love to get them out there and teach them. So, but at this point, no, not really. We have Kelsey will be back. I'm hoping that there was an eighth grader that played this year. I'm hoping she plays. It's really awful because she's kind of my niece, and I can't think of her name at the top of my head. Oh, my gosh, it's terrible. Anyway.
Neither can I. She's same age as Chesney.
Yeah. Drawing a blank. It's going to come to me in a second. Anyway, so we do need to work on that, getting some young ladies out there just to keep playing golf. But like I said, I mean, I think there's a future, but it's a couple years away, unfortunately.
Golf in good hands in Emporia. We'll come back. We'll talk about some really good hands and some really good feet and a really good head, and that is Scotty Scheffler and his chances at the U.S. Open. You're listening to KVOE. This is the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are live and local.
Warmer weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001.
They're in the band.
Don't miss the Emporia Municipal Band, Thursday nights at 8 p.m. in Fremont Park.
The greatest musical sensation of our generation.
KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Strike up the band, live and local.
KVOE live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you by JNU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. In this tight housing market, when you find a home you like, don't delay. Call Jan today, 620-343-5100. From the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Chuck Samples.
Good morning, everybody. We do have some good news when it comes to our current flooding situation. The National Weather Service still has the flood warning for the Cottonwood at Emporia, but it's shortened it up a little bit. It's also reduced the projected crest and moved that forward as well. Projected crest had been 25.5 feet Wednesday, now looking at 22.4 feet this afternoon. Flood warnings canceled, though, for the Cottonwood at Plymouth and Cottonwood Falls, plus the Neosho River at Neosho Rapids. Details at KVOE.com today. Emporia Fire successfully rescued a driver that got stuck in floodwaters near Emporia this morning. This happened around 7:30 in the morning in the 1600 block of Road G. At the same time, a rollover crash developed in the 3000 block of Road L near Allen, and the driver of the vehicle involved was taken to Newman Regional Health with injuries. KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team, sunny with a high of 80 degrees today, clear and 57 tonight, sunshine and 84 tomorrow, up to 91 with sunshine on Wednesday. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Currently, we do have a light northeast breeze, sunny skies, 73 degrees at KVOE live and local. Headlines are brought to you this hour by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. She has the experience to get the job done in today's real estate market. Call 620-343-5100.
Welcome back to the Monday Morning Quarterback. Steve Souter, Marcus Urkel, Aaron Harder here on this U.S. Open Monday. I'm looking forward to it.
First of all, major golf is just fantastic. Pinehurst is a course that I feel like it's been there enough, or we all kind of know it enough to be excited. And when the best player in the world wins the week before, when the best player in the world is playing fantastic, it's great. I'm getting to the point where I'm excited to get the live guys there, just to get them together. It's been. Last year, I didn't know how I felt about it. This year, it's kind of like, all right, I want to watch it. I want to see how they do.
I like when the 150 best players are in a tournament.
Exactly. So, and then on top of that, we all know from the quote from Tim Kupp, this is the most democratic golf tournament in the world. Anybody can register and anybody can go. We had an opportunity. Gentry Sheevy played last week. We were talking about it on air. He was playing at the time. Unfortunately, he did not make it. But you know, it can be anybody from I think I saw an art teacher from New York, I think, qualified or something like that, and to your obviously your pros. So it's such a fun tournament. It's going to be exciting. And
did Tony Romo make it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, he keeps trying.
I don't know that he tried this year. I didn't see anything on him.
Yeah, I didn't either. But it might just be old news now.
Obviously Scotty wins yesterday. This is his seventh win.
Seven of his last 12 weeks on Earth.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Five PGA Tour wins, one birth of a child,
and one
felonious felony arrest. That's seven of his last 12 weeks.
It's been a whirlwind, but you know the thing is as great as we all know he is, this is his first win after the month of May, I believe. So, you know, as great as he's been, it's all been early. It's been, obviously, he's won the Players twice, he's won the Masters twice, he's won the Phoenix Open, something else I think he won twice, but they've all been in the first, really, 4 months. He won, I think, when he won in May, I think it was the first time he won after April, and this is the first time he's won after May. So it's good that, you know, I don't know if he was getting tired or I don't know if
I'll take him
courses
number one.
He didn't know. Oh, no, those are no questions. But I'm just saying it's good to see that he's, you know, he's getting.
He's still relatively young. That's the scary.
No, is he 25 or something?
Seven, I think.
27,
and he managed to get arrested and booked and handcuffed and all that kind of stuff, too.
Some of the videos
that would bother some people.
His last seven golf tournaments, he's only been beat by seven golfers.
That's pretty phenomenal. It's crazy. So yeah, I think he's down to 3-1 at Vegas, which we haven't seen.
It's unheard of
since Tiger. I don't even think we've been close since Tiger. I know Tiger used to be better than that, but I think that since the 2008 season, we probably haven't even been close to 3-1 odds-on favorite champion. So, you know, I just he's such a good person. He's such a good guy. I hope the pressure's not on him anymore. He's kind of figured this whole thing out, I think, and. You know, yesterday it got close, right?
Yeah, Morikawa had chances.
Morikawa had chances. Adam Hadwin had chances early, and he's just so steady that, you know, I think that if you're chasing him, you have to make birdies because, you know, he's not going to make a bunch of bogeys.
Well, on Saturday or Friday, I don't remember which one, he tripled a hole and still extended his lead.
Yeah, I think that was Saturday.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that to happen again, though. He's not going to make triples. That might be the only triple he makes
the year,
the whole year. Yeah. So, golf's. I'm telling you, it's going to be fun. I know John Rahm got hurt, which stinks. I don't even know if he's going to play. Has anybody seen anything on that?
I have not.
He pulled out of the tournament. He took a swing. It looked like he hurt himself pretty bad.
He pulled out of Liv Houston.
Yeah,
okay.
On Friday, I think. So I'm sure he went straight to the training room to try and prep for this week. But if he can't go, that's one guy. Less, obviously, to challenge, but, you know, I know, obviously, Koepka and Bryson's been playing great.
Morikawa plays playing really well. He's won one before.
Xander obviously won a couple weeks ago. I don't remember. Anyway, it's going to be fun. It's always fun. We're going to go do our pick'ems tomorrow, and I'm pretty sure whoever has won will take Scotty Scheffler no matter.
It won't be me.
It won't be you.
I've already had the one.
It could be me. It could be me.
Could be.
If it is, he'll miss the cut. So, yeah, there you go. Linehurst is great.
Marcus.
Yeah.
Got a question. The lady golfers who play on Monday nights at the Moon or at the Out South want to know if it's going to be cart path only.
Well, I sent an email that it won't be cart path only. So, hopefully they know. But yeah, we got a big night tonight. So, if you're planning on playing golf, it'll be a back nine situation because the ladies will have the front. And it is not cart path only. It's amazing how quickly it dried out. Yesterday, by the end of the day, I was kind of like, yeah, we probably could get off cart path. So they're out mowing. They're prepping. We got a tournament tomorrow. We have a ladies tournament tomorrow. We have a drive, chip, and putt on Wednesday. We have the Kansas Am qualifier on Saturday. So we are busy. So Kelly and his crew are probably mad at me for getting all this stuff because they got work to do out there getting the course ready.
Any Emporians playing Saturday?
Bunch of them. A bunch of them. Brooks. Well, maybe. Brooks, hopefully. Hudson, Will Walker, Nolan Jacobs, Eli Fowler. That's five. That might be it.
No Dave, no Chad.
No Dave, no Chad. Nope. So
good. Who's your pick besides Scotty?
I would probably take Koepka second. He's just that kind of guy. He loves this tournament. This is the type of golf course that, I mean, U.S. Opens are the type of golf courses that will beat you mentally a lot of the way, and he's not the type to get beat mentally. He's done it before. In all honesty, this is someone, please don't pass out if you're driving when I say this, but I might take Bryson third. And you, if anybody that knows Pete knows, that's a real big statement. So hopefully none of the guys in our pickup group are behind the wheel when I said that. Steve, but, man, he's just so good right now.
Steve, you got any picks besides Scotty?
Harmon.
Brian Harmon?
Yep.
All right. I like that.
Another, I just like him. I love watching him play.
Another grinder. I think you're right. I think you got to pick grinders for the U.S. Open.
Well, he does grind.
Spieth is a grinder. That's why he's won this
for about 45 seconds before each shot.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I'm going to take
who do you like?
Mine would be two young pups. Well, I guess Colin and Scotty Scheffler are the same age. Morikawa or Ludwig Åberg?
Boy, I would love to see Åberg be the guy. I don't know that we've seen enough of his, again, dog mentality.
This is his first U.S. Open.
Well, I just mean in
his, no, I hear you.
Throughout just the sure. just the battles. I mean, he hasn't played very well in the first two majors. But man, he's an awesome kid. He's a whew, that golf swing. That's on repeat at my house.
I saw a prettier golf swing.
Did you?
I did. I texted you guys yesterday morning. Oh,
I didn't get a chance. I was a little busy.
The DP, my sleep schedule is half U.S., half Europe still. So I was up early, and they were like on hole four, and they're playing in Sweden. It's the Scandinavian DP Mixed Tour. So the
men and women.
DP Men's Tour and the Ladies European Tour, I think it's called, LET.
Are
playing the same course, same time, against each other, different tee boxes, but they're paired together. The pairings are mixed, and a gal comes out and shoots 65, and she is probably 7 or 8 groups in front of the leaders. And when she finishes, she is down 5. I think it was she finishes at 17, and the leader was at 22. The leader had an 8-stroke lead on the field going into Sunday, and the leader choked the entire lead away, missed a 2-footer that lipped out,
don't
came right back
that.
Out. Do not watch
don't
it.
Don't watch it.
Do not watch it. That came right back to him. I mean, he had a two putt from 23 feet to send it to a playoff, which I was looking forward to. I had seen her last 3 or 4 holes. But I couldn't tell where her tee boxes were compared to the guys,
oh, yeah.
how much further ahead or yeah. So, but I was looking forward to it in a playoff, have him hit every time
cool.
and then go up to her tee box, see where they're at after the tee shot.
And he missed the 2-footer.
Couldn't bogey the last to send it into a playoff. They're both Swedish. I think they both know each other pretty well. It was in Sweden. She was I think her last name is Grant. She was the first woman to win a DP Tour
mix
event as a female. And I think she just qualified for one of those.
Okay.
It was not a mixed event, and now she's the first one to win a mixed event. But her swing is absolutely gorgeous
as well.
I'll have to
look at that. I did not get a chance. I know you texted us, but like I said, I was in the middle of starting people for the city.
Yeah, it was right at first tee times,
I
think.
Yeah, so... yeah, there was that, and then actually, if depending on how big you're on the golf, there was also I think on the LPGA tour there was a 7. She came back. What did she come back from the DP? 11 or 7?
8.
8. I think the girl...
She was 12 strokes better than him yesterday.
Came back from like a 6-stroke deficit. So it was a day for comebacks. Yeah, always fun. I'll have to check that out.
The Corn Ferry's in Wichita this week.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, which is why when I said Brooks, I put a little question mark in his name because he will be caddying for that tournament. So if his player makes the cut...
We told him no am. Stay on the bag.
Yeah, if he makes the cut, he's going to stay on the bag. If his player makes the cut, he's going to stay on the bag. So
he's going to make the cut.
It's a long shot for him to make.
It's a long shot.
He's going to make the cut. He's going to have a great gallery.
But it's cool for Brooks for what it's worth because this guy is a former tour winner. And
2-time tour winner.
Brooks got on his bag in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
I don't really remember the story how, but then obviously did a good enough job that he wanted him back in Wichita. So
this guy was good friends with Mike McCabe.
Okay.
And Mike McCabe actually gave his wife her first job at Old American. Stephen Bowditch is his name. He is Australian. Wonderful guy. 2-time tour winner. And then he is business partners with a guy that comes and plays in Stephen R. BBC tournament. And they had texted and said, hey, he's going to come up and play in Kansas City. You guys think you can find a caddy? Jamie was like, yeah, I got a son home from college over the week.
a golfing son home from college for the week.
So Brooks went up and played or caddied at Blue Hills. Brooks, I don't know if he's ever played it before, but he has played Crestview many times.
Yeah, he
so
has.
Brooks,
that's right.
Brooks will actually be able to be a good caddy. Jamie and I went and watched him on day 2 at Blue Hills in Kansas City. He is completely different than all the other Corn Ferry guys. A, he's a little bit older.
Yeah.
B, he's been on tour before. Those guys grind it out. Look at every putt from 17 angles. He gives her about one look and
nice.
Then whacks it within 6 inches.
I have to go down
inches.
There Friday. What are you doing Friday? You want to go down and watch?
We're going to go down Thursday.
Well, the highlight of his career was when he was 17 years old. He beat Greg Norman in a tournament in Australia.
I'm sure that as considering what Greg Norman was to Australia, that was probably an extremely high moment for him. That's pretty cool. That's kind of like last week's qualifier. Cam Davis and Adam Scott went into the playoff for the 4th spot. And I would imagine Adam Scott was Cam Davis's idol growing up.
Sure.
So to be able to beat him, that's a pretty cool thing. I didn't know that's a good story. Speaking of the qualifier, I need to go back.
Adam Scott is not in the U.S. Open?
Well, he was the first qualifier out of that deal, but someone told me that that location qualifier, for whatever reason, gets like 4 alternates in every year. So I'm assuming he'll end up in.
Okay.
But he does
not. I was going to say, who else are you going to pick?
Yeah, I don't pick Adam Scott anymore. Come on now. What are you trying to do? It's like asking an alcoholic for a drink. Anyway, back to the qualifier really quick because I would be remiss. Drew Buckman is playing, and I know he's not an Emporia kid, but he is a Council Grove kid.
Sure.
Awesome kid. Such a good player.
He shot – what did he shoot up there earlier this year?
He's played there so many times. He shot in the Flint Hills League, I think he shot 67, 66,
Six.
Something
I think
like
it was
that.
66.
He's played there. He played state there. He didn't quite play as well. He played there the other day for the Optimists. He's played there a lot. He's a super, super nice kid, good player. Lane Workman from Santa Fe Trails, a little further away, but he has some ties because his coach, he plays here all the time. Great, great guy. And then Kyle Eggers plays there a lot. He's a not Neodesha. What's down south? One of those courses down south, smaller course. Kids that have been there a lot in high school that I get excited to see, they're all coming. So it's going to be a young field out there. So, yeah, should be good. Should be a good weekend. Course is in good shape.
Awesome. Take our second break. Go ahead, Steve.
Before you start talking about NBA, don't forget about Carlos Alcaraz.
Oh, I got Alcaraz and Iga circled. We'll come back. We'll talk French Open, NBA, NHL playoffs. The Royals still being awesome. You're listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback. We are brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Weather means it's time to tackle those spring and summer construction projects. When you need commercial dirt work, from demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction is proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. The Emporia Farmers Market.
Is everything in place?
Twice a week. Wednesday evenings and Saturday mornings in the parking lot at 7th and Merchant.
Go.
KPOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Grown, live and local.
KPOE, live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines from the 24-hour KPOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need. Here is Dylan Sherwood.
Thanks, Sean, and good morning, everyone. Well, the Kansas City Royals rallied but fell in extra innings to Seattle yesterday, 6-5. Royals begin a four-game series with the New York Yankees tonight. Seth Lugo will start tonight. Our coverage begins at 6:30 here on KVOE. Brooke Souther won the City Golf Championship on the men's side yesterday, 2-day total of 140. Won the tournament by one stroke over Emporia State track and field coach Seth Mischke. On the women's side, Avery Ecker won her second city championship in 3 years, 2-day total of 146, winning the tournament by five strokes over twin sister Olivia. We have a list of other champions from this weekend's tournament online at KVOE.com. Eight area high school standouts play in the eight-man all-star games held in Beloit on Saturday. In the eight-man Division I game, Chase County's Tad Groh, Micah Cotters, Brock Griffin, Linden's Jalen Massey, Caston Worth, and Caleb Anschutz, and Madison's Lane Darborough played for the East. Lebo's Grayson Shoemaker was on the East squad for the eight-man Division II all-star game. Linden coach Michael Massey was the head coach for the eight-man Division I East All-Stars, and Chase County coach Derek Buckey was an assistant. And the Kansas State baseball team fell to Virginia in their best of three Super Regional as they fell in Game 2, 10-4 on Saturday. K-State ends the year at 35-26. College World Series begins on Friday in Omaha. That's sports. I'm Dylan Sherwood, KVOE, live and local.
Thank you, Dylan. And for all the latest sports news, information, and our on-air schedule, make sure you go check out the sports page at KVOE.com.
The Monday Morning Quarterback, Marcus, Steve, and Aaron are present. I watched a little bit, like three games of the women's final from Roland Garros on Saturday morning. She's going to be tough to beat for many years to come. The Polish three-time French Open winner, Iga Swiatek, kind of runs away with the tournament. Don't think she ever went to three sets. I think she barely went over an hour and 10 minutes of playing time the entire tournament. Just ran through the field. She is really, really good and really, really, really good on clay. And then a classic men's final yesterday. First three sets, fantastic. Fourth set, Alcaraz gets up a couple breaks and kind of runs away with it, and then a pretty competitive fifth set between Carlos Alcaraz, the Spaniard, and is it Alexander Zverev? I can't remember Zverev's first name right now, but the German.
Alexander.
Yeah. Some really, really, really good tennis between those two yesterday. Did you watch most of it, Steve?
I actually watched the last two sets, and neither one of them were very close. Maybe Alcaraz, at fifth set, he just cruised. But he's good. The other guy's good. The other guy's never won a major. I was watching him 10 years ago.
Well, there's an opportunity in men's tennis right now because the big three that have dominated for 20-plus years are getting older, getting hurt.
This is the first time one of them
backed out. Who backed out?
Nadal.
Nadal backed out.
No, Nadal got beat night one.
Djokovic backed out.
Correct.
Yeah, Djokovic backed out, I think, a couple days before.
He got hurt.
I shouldn't say backed out. That was probably a bad way to say it. He got hurt a couple days before and had to withdraw. there's an opportunity there. I mean, this Alcaraz kid has obviously been in some situations where he's played well, and he is just super powerful and quick. He's going to be there a long time. It's pretty cool to see the videos of him when he was a kid talking about
winning Wimbledon and winning the French,
yeah. And now he's done both.
He
won Wimbledon, right? Yeah,
by 21.
By 21. So he's a stud, and you know, I'm sure that someone else will come to the top to challenge him at some point. I hope
there's guys there,
but it's not that big three was pretty cool for a lot of years.
Is there an American in the top 50?
Korda is in the top 50, and
I think there's three or four when you go to top 50.
Trying to think, they're the top guy. I can't even think of his name. God, I'm bad with names. It's ridiculous. Aaron's on Google mode.
College World Series on, or the regionals.
Yeah, super regionals, right?
Hard to find time to watch tennis.
Steve, did you see yesterday, if you had a chance to watch, see, here I am again. I think it was Florida State. Clemson, did they play? Did you see the catch?
Clemson
the kid
in Florida.
Florida, yeah, yes. Florida. Did you see the catch the kid made in center field yesterday?
I just turned it on. Unbelievable.
Oh, it's just spectacular. I mean, and actually I was talking to my brother about it. I saw the highlights. He was watching the game. Apparently that kid hit a home run to tie the game the inning before, and the situation, the reason that he was playing so close is because they were playing, you know, kind of a prevent defense type of thing. And, man, if you haven't seen the highlight of this catch, go watch it. He's going straight back. Not only that, I don't know what field they're on. I didn't even see a warning track. So he goes back and basket catches it Willie Mays style while jumping and avoiding the fence. It was pretty awesome. If you haven't seen it, you got to Google that. It's on SportsCenter.
When they broke it down later, there is a warning track, but it's an incline. So the last three or four steps, he was actually going uphill.
Yeah, it was a heck of a play. I don't even know who ended up winning that game.
Steve, there are three Americans in the top 15. Fritz is 12, Paul is 13, Shelton is 14, Korda is 26, Tiafo is 28.
Tiafo, that's who I was thinking of.
And Eubanks is 45. So that's six Americans in the top 50. We just need one of them to get in the top five and
win a couple tournaments.
Win a couple tournaments.
I've heard of one of them.
You've heard of Tiafo. He made a run a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Speaking of defending titles and winning back-to-backs, did any of you watch Oklahoma absolutely dominate Texas Women's College World Series?
I never saw an ending to the game. I watched a lot of the middles of the game, and, man, they're just so good. And, you know, people want to complain that they're hosting, and they get, because they're hosting, that they get some kind of home field advantage. But you know what? When you're really, really good, it doesn't really matter. So, but that facility that they've obviously invested in, they've earned the right to host the College World Series.
Here's a trivia question for you. What did the Oklahoma Sooners softball team have in common with the Emporia High girls basketball team?
Bunch of seniors?
10 seniors.
Yeah, I bet you.
I just wonder how good Oklahoma will be next year.
I'll bet you they reload, Steve.
I bet they find some more seniors.
I'll bet they reload. They got something figured out. Is that four in a row? Five in a row?
That is four out of the last six.
They won the last four.
Four in a row.
Yeah,
five out of the last six. Five out of the last seven.
It's pretty special thing going on. I remember when I was a kid, that was U of A where they reeled off like six out of 8 years. They were playing UCLA every year. And I remember how special that was and the vibe that the Tucson had at that time. I'm sure that Oklahoma and Norman have a very similar vibe. So good for them. Congrats to them. What else, man?
You want to talk to
the College World Series for baseball starts Friday. K-State made a nice showing. They didn't win the game in the super regional, but they played well. Their pitching just didn't hold up.
Was that ball fair or foul, Steve?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Oh, it was late in the game. I think it was game two, and it was in the eighth. They were up. Virginia was up two, I think, at the time, and it was a base clearing double. And it was very close, Let's just say that. I couldn't tell. I know the ball doesn't have to land fair. It's got to go over the bag. But, boy, it was awfully close to being foul, and it kind of ended the end of the game, I think, the season for K-State. But they did have a good run, so congrats to them. College World Series and College Softball World Series are the funnest of baseball, softball sports. They are a blast to watch if you get a chance to watch College World Series this week.
Well, I think it's just
hard to keep track of who is who. Both schools are in, and both Florida schools are in.
It is hard to keep track. You are correct.
It's good though. I mean, they don't make you. I mean, we complain about Division II all the time. If the best two teams live an hour away from each other, and they can't play each other for a national title.
Right.
But baseball and softball avoid that, and it's absolutely awesome to see. Let's talk Royals. Speaking of awesome to see, Sean said he stuck with them on Friday night, saw an absolute epic comeback from Bobby Witt and friends. He's a pretty good baseball player, guys. Bobby Witt Jr. He's not bad.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's okay. Yeah, he's okay. You know, normally a game like we saw Friday night, after that first inning, I would have walked away and gone and watched something else.
Last year at this time, sure.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Because just for my – I used to not do that, and then for my sanity, I sit there and I was like, you know what? These blowouts, I can't sit there and do that.
Yeah, there's other things in life, yeah.
Yeah. But this year's team is completely different to where an 8-run lead, I kind of feel like they could – come back from that.
Well, an eight-run lead, we couldn't score eight in a series last year.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like night and day so far. So I stuck with the game, and I was just like, you know, if they just chip away a little bit at a time, they'll get there, and they did. Amazing finish to the game. Absolutely unbelievable that they were able to come back from that and win the game on Friday night. And this team just does not quit at all. It's, as you said, night and day compared to last year. It's so much fun to watch this Royals team.
Well, we talked about this just last week when we were talking about the Padres series, and they came back, they lost. They didn't come back enough, but you're just sitting there like, man, they're not quitting. You know, they're getting – it'd be interesting to go through the season and see how many runs they've scored in the ninth inning. It's a lot. It's a lot of runs. And you know, there's – not just the Royals last year, but there's a lot of teams that just give up when 162 game season. It's like, what's the point? We're down. We're not going to. But man, they just keep scoring runs in the ninth. And then you get in a situation like this where it's like, hey, we can do it. We know we can do it because we've done it. Even if they fell short in the Padres, or there was another series a couple weeks ago that was kind of a similar situation
where they kind of fell short.
But, you know, when you're in that dugout, I'm sure that they're saying, look, just because we're here, we can do this. And the more they do it, obviously, the more confident they're going to be. But you're right. The vibe is just – it's unbelievable. And whoever you credit to, whether it's the coaching staff, whether it's the GM, whether it's the players, all of them probably. But, man, the turnaround is just phenomenal.
Well, and yesterday afternoon was a game where – kind of seemed like the offense wasn't really doing much, and you get into the ninth inning and they get a couple out. Lofton hits that double, and you're like, okay, they're still in it. We'll see what happens. Like, as we've said, they're never fully out of it. And then MJ hits the home run to tie of the game. They go into extra innings. Seattle puts up three more runs, and you're like, oh,
it's such an easy time to quit.
Yeah, and then Renfroe hits a two-run homer, and they're back in it again. I saw a tweet yesterday that was basically like, Seattle is going to have nightmares from this series, possibly the rest of the season. And they're probably very thankful they don't have to play Kansas City again throughout the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, again, even though they came up short yesterday, it still shows the care, the possibilities and for baseball. I mean, if you've played baseball, you know, like that's half the battle. Well, right there.
The Royals are in a stretch where they play 12 games in a row against teams that are number one in their division. And right now they've played five of those games, and the Royals the record is 3 wins and 2 losses. So they're holding up against the best competition. Now they got the Yankees and the Dodgers coming up. But they keep that up, win 50% of them, and will come through this stretch pretty much unfazed.
Well, if other teams are looking and they got the Royals on the, I mean, the Royals got the sixth best record in all of baseball. So they're up there as well. So if somebody has the Royals on their schedule, this is a tough series here. It's not an easy three gamer like it's been for a few years. So when you pitch well, when you play good defense, and when you get some timely hits, it's amazing what you can do.
Yeah, rest of the month. I mean, Steve mentioned Yankees and Dodgers coming up this week, but then you have Texas later on in the month and Cleveland as well. They might get a little bit of reprieve with Oakland and Miami, but. You know, Texas is still really good. They are the defending World Series champions. And as we saw last week, Cleveland, that's, I think, going to be a little bit of a dogfight throughout the rest of the season when it comes to that American League Central.
What do they play? Is it 19 games against in division? Or
it's
13?
No, it's no, like 12.
They lowered it now.
They've lowered it down.
Yeah, it's
so
like
you
12.
Play everybody.
12. So
yeah.
They went, what, they're 1-2 right now against Cleveland? Is that right? They played 3?
1-1.
They got rained out. Yeah, so they're 1-1 right now against Cleveland. So yeah, I mean, for sure that's going to be the thing is how they can.
Well, you want to be what
year? What are you at? You know,
you want to be what good baseball teams are. Compete against the top teams, and then take the series against the teams that you should take the series against. And they've done that so far. I don't think any of us could have guessed it.
No.
They'd almost be at 40 wins in early June. Keep it up, Royals. Like you said, a lot of credit to the players. A lot of credit to the coach. And you obviously got to give some credit to the GM as well.
Yeah, it's been just not really what any of us expected. We could go back, and we will at some point, and look what our guesses for win totals for the year.
Burn them. Burn that tape.
And this is not even close to what we were all – like, we thought they would be better. Like, that was
– Well, we knew they were going to be better because they only won
56. There was no way they were going to be any worse. But also, it was like – this much better? I never in my wildest dreams would have thought.
We didn't think they'd catch last year's win total in July.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. We keep talking about it, but it's like, I mean, if they won 66 games this year, that's 10 more wins than last year. That's probably hard to do. I mean, if you go through historically. So to be, I mean, if they get the pace they're on, I mean, they're blowing that out of the water. It would be hard to predict that no matter what.
The pace they're on is to make the playoffs.
Yeah, to make the playoffs.
Think about that for a moment.
They're on a pace to easily make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're almost five games up.
If it weren't for the stinking Guardians keep winning too, they'd be, you know, I mean, I don't know that we expected Cleveland to be this good.
No.
Not this good. I mean, they just keep winning. Like every week, every day, I look at the Royals. I'm like, okay, good. You know, will they win or less? Oh, what did Cleveland do? It's like, oh, they won again. Yeah. Jeez, they won again.
Can't gain any ground because Cleveland's pretty much doing the same thing.
It's wild. It's awesome, though, because we are talking about them positively at this point, which I guarantee if we went back a year ago and looked at those tapes, we were probably not even bringing them up.
Yeah, the Royals played. They lost 4 of 6 last week. Let's talk about something else. Speaking of talking about something else.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
You want to be envious. Bobby and I are going Thursday and sitting in the VIP seat.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
She bought that for her birthday for me.
Good for her. Good for her. That's a good wife.
That's awesome.
Happy That'll wife.
Be 95 degrees, but we will be in the air conditioning.
And who will they still be with? Will they be with the Dodgers or New York by then? Still be with the Yankees.
Yankees
on Thursday?
Yankees.
They got a four-game set. Perfect.
Yankees.
Quick.
We'll mention NBA very quickly. Boston absolutely runs away with game one. Dallas plays a pretty good game two. If you haven't seen Luka Doncic play basketball, he's absolutely amazing. Jaylen Brown and Drew Holiday carrying the Celtics. They were saying yesterday that Jason Tatum had a terrible game. He almost had a triple-double. I don't know what they want from him. Dallas has to get the next two, or that series is over. I think they got a really good chance on
Thursday. I don't think they play till Thursday.
Sunday, Thursday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
Yep.
Okay. But Sean and my favorite postseason sport,
hockey,
is the race for the Stanley Cup.
I so think Florida's going to win. I so desperately want Edmonton to win.
That was my thoughts pre-series as well. It'd be nice to see the Cup make it back to Canada.
31 years.
Florida has had a stronghold on the Eastern Conference in hockey between Tampa Bay and Florida the last 5 years.
It just doesn't seem right.
Two of those being in cups. It's an indoor sport.
There's not a lot of kids in Florida going to play hockey.
There are. Indoor. There are, though.
Well,
there
probably is now.
Yeah, there are, though. That's the thing. The Panthers, the favorites from the East, returning to the finals for the second straight year. Their goalkeeper on Saturday night played about as good of a hockey game as an individual can. Your thoughts on Saturday's game, Sean?
I knew Florida was going to be tough. I'm an Edmonton fan. It basically goes for me, LA Kings, Edmonton. So those are like my two favorites. And I was like, you know what? But Edmonton's got a killer offense. It's going to be a fun series. And Bobrovsky shut him down. And there were some saves there that were just like I can't figure out how he.
It's like Goldberg from the Mighty Ducks.
Well, find the highlight tape if you haven't. He was in the first period. I was with someone that was rooting for Edmonton, and I said, I'm pretty sure he's been flat on his butt 4 times already. Two of them were awesome saves. Two of them were missed shots by the Oilers. And then in the third period, I think early in the third period, he was on his back upside down with both his skates pointing towards the roof. And I've seen it 8 times, and I still can't tell if the puck actually hit the bottom of his pad and then went off the post or just went off the post. It was absolutely amazing. If keepers play like that, obviously their teams usually – fare really, really well. The shots were 30-10.
Ooh.
Florida scored 3 goals on 10. Actually, Florida scored 3 goals on 10 shots because the other was an empty netter.
Historically, a historically differential in terms of.
Was that a yawn?
Might have been.
Well, watch game two tonight, Steve. You'll enjoy it.
And I don't feel like Edmonton played bad at all.
No, they didn't.
And it was just like there was no way they were going to get the puck in the goal. It was ridiculous.
If we can get one person changed here, listeners, I'm telling you, playoff hockey is still arguably the best sport to watch.
They just care more.
I've done it. You guys got me hooked last year, and I did not watch Saturday, but I have watched a couple of games earlier this series.
It's kind of the same reason you said College World Series and Women's College World Series are must watch.
Yeah.
Those kids just care more.
Yeah, and there's no rest. It is just all out from the opening puck drop to the end. It is a joy to watch playoff hockey.
Pay attention tonight. We'll see if Connor McDavid correctly pulled off the Band-Aid in the right way or if he's got part of his beard missing.
Yeah.
For when he was cut during the game. So that was why I was watching him like, oh, that's going to hurt if he pulls that off the wrong way.
Yes,
so
it will.
We'll see tonight whether or not he did it correctly or not.
And if you pay attention to him, he's number 97 for the Oilers. He is faster than anybody on skates, and he probably has the best skills with a stick since a former Edmonton Oiler in Wayne Gretzky. He is absolutely amazing to watch. Game two tonight, NBA game three.
Wednesday.
And NHL Game 3, both on Wednesday.
No, NHL's on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, NHL's on Thursday.
Where
NBA
we were
on
that the other day.
And then, so hopefully neither of those series are over. Hopefully we have a 18-hole. Did the U.S. Open switch?
Yes.
Did they go to 4-hole?
Yes.
Okay.
It's switched. I don't know if it's 3 or 4, but they switched. There's okay. No more 18-hole playoffs.
Well, hopefully there's a 3 or 6-hole playoff in the U.S. Open that keeps us up until late Sunday evening going into NBA Game 4. Should be...
Enjoy your Father's Day watching the U.S. Open. No better way to spend Father's Day than watching the U.S. Open.
Agree 100%. Thanks for joining, Steve.
Thank you. It was a good show.
Thanks for joining, Marcus. Thanks to Sean for joining. You've been listening to the Monday Morning Quarterback, been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Talk of Emporia is next right here on KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and we are local.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.